Put Your Beliefs to the Test, Understanding the Global Worldview War. Part two in our series begins tonight as we look at the power of I am. Are we approaching the last days? Did Jesus tell us this is how we could know in part one of the many signs? But will you understand the signs of the time if you don't understand the worldviews and the worldview war? Tonight, we'll look at the worldview war that's gone global. The Worldview Weekend Hour begins right now.
WVW-TV presents the Worldview Weekend Hour with Brannon House. Whether the topic is law, science, government, economics, history, family, social issues, education, or theology, Brannon brings the issues of today into clear focus through the lens of a biblical worldview. And now, here is your host, Brannon House.
Good evening and welcome to the Worldview Weekend Hour. Tonight is Sunday night, January 30th. And we are live. I hope you'll tweet, text, email, Facebook. Tell all your family and friends, tune in as we seek to understand the global worldview war. If you don't understand the global worldview war, well, as we saw last Sunday night, you won't understand the times. You will see bits and pieces, but not the big picture. And yet, all the events, many of them, I should say, unfolding today, they do fit together. But you have to understand the worldview war to be able to put those puzzle pieces together. Now, before we get into our lesson tonight, we have just returned this morning. Almost 12 hours ago, we returned from Houston, Texas. We left Friday night out of the Mid-South, Western Tennessee, and 8 p.m., we left about 8 p.m. Friday night, jumped in the motor coach with my wife and Logan and camera crew and two drivers, and headed to Houston for the Trump rally. We got there at 6:57 to be precise, Saturday morning. So we slept through the night. What is, and why air quotes? Because you don't sleep too good in a motor coach. We got there, had a little breakfast, and began to set up. And then we had to leave the secure area so the Secret Service could come through and sweep. And so we began doing some broadcasting remotely. And then we were allowed back into the secure area and began streaming and broadcasting live and doing interviews up until President Trump spoke. I think this was perhaps the biggest rally. We're still waiting on the numbers, but perhaps the biggest rally President Trump has ever held. I don't know how many were there. I wouldn't even want to guess. A massive, massive, massive amount of people there. And the Trump team gave us good access for our camera crew. We got some great footage, some great interviews. I had the opportunity to interview in person the Attorney General of Texas, the Agricultural Commissioner of Texas, and others, and some of those will be on our website over the next couple days. So again, it was great to actually meet some of you. Some of you would come up to me and say, "Are you Brannon House?" And I'd say, "Yep." Or they'd come up to Logan and say, "Is that Brannon House?" "Yep, that's my dad." And a lot of you saying, "I watch. We love what you guys are doing at WVW and at Frank Speech and Lindell TV." So it was good to meet many, many of you and to be a part of that. So we left there at about 10:15 p.m. Central Time Saturday night and got back this morning about 8:30. So I would have every reason to take off, I would think, tonight, right? But I'm committed to this class. I know you're committed to it. And I've been holding this Sunday night series pretty much other than holidays or when I'm sick, which is not very often I'm sick, but other than holidays or special occasions we would take off. I'm pretty much here every Sunday night, have been for this broadcast ever since 2015, holding this series every Sunday night since 2015. And so I'm committed to it. I know you're committed to it. So I did not want to miss tonight's broadcast so I can catch up on my sleep later. All right. We want to understand the times, right? I certainly do. Jesus said to the people of his day, "You can discern the weather, but do you understand the times?" The tribe of Issachar was called wise because they understood the times and knew what God would have them to do. So let's seek to understand the times. In fact, there's a special blessing in the book of Revelation, the only book that I know of in the Bible, that comes with a special blessing for those that seek to understand that Bible prophecy which speaks about the things of the last days. Now, we are approaching the last days. We're certainly in the last days, I believe. I think the signs tell us that. And much of Bible prophecy is yet to be fulfilled. Some Bible prophecy has been fulfilled. Much is yet to be fulfilled. And I believe the stage is being set for much of it to be fulfilled in the future. But how far out? I don't want to set a date, but certainly looks like things are ramping up. And you can, we don't know the day or the time or the hour of Christ's return, but he did tell us there are a lot of signs of the second coming. Now, don't confuse the second coming, when Christ literally puts his foot on earth, with the rapture of the church. Now, again, depending on your eschatology or end time belief, you believe the rapture for the church occurs before the tribulation, the 7-year tribulation. Some believe it occurs in the middle. Some believe what's called pre-wrath, about 75% of the way through the tribulation. Others believe after the tribulation, post-tribulation. I tend to lean toward the pre-tribulation view, and I won't go into why. But regardless of your eschatology, as to when you believe the church will be removed, the Bible does speak about the second coming. There are no signs that need to be fulfilled for the rapture to occur, but there are lots of signs related to the second coming. And Jesus specifically talked about these things with his disciples. And this has everything to do with the worldview war, because this is a gigantic spiritual battle. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us that we're involved in a worldview war, a war of worldviews. Last week we looked at 6 dominant worldviews that rule the world. We'll continue to do that this week. There are more than 6 worldviews, but there are 6 dominant worldviews that rule the world. And if you do not understand the Christian worldview, the biblical worldview, you cannot understand what is happening, what people are saying, what they really believe, what they're really professing. You cannot understand when they're mixing their worldviews. There are many people today, as we looked at last week, mixing their worldviews. They're mixing New Age with communism. We said last week, normally, historically, a communist would be an atheist. A communist would be a naturalist. They would only believe in the natural world. They wouldn't believe in the spiritual world. They would only believe in the natural world. You die, that's it. Man has no soul, it's over. That would be a communist. That would be an atheist. However, many, many communists today would not be atheist or naturalist or secular humanist. They would believe in cosmic humanism, New Age. New Age spirituality. So there's been a converging of various worldviews. And you have to understand these various worldviews to see them playing out. If you don't understand the worldview of cosmic humanism, New Age, you'll have a hard time understanding much of what's happening today, because the New Age or cosmic humanism is becoming the dominant worldview of our age. It absolutely is. More people are saying, what? I'm not religious, but I am spiritual. Well, you turn on the television and you see someone like Joel Osteen, and you may say, well, he's a pastor, right? No, he would be what I think the Bible calls a hireling. Jesus in John chapter 10 warned about those who don't care about the sheep, who are involved in false teaching, who don't care about the sheep at all. They're really about themselves. They love their titles. They love their money. They love power. They love the things of the world. They love the theology of the world. They don't love the sheep. They don't guard the sheep. Jesus says the shepherd guards the sheep. And one way we know the shepherd is guarding the sheep is he attends to their theology. Theology comes from the word theos, God, your view of God. And a shepherd, a good shepherd, guards the sheep from bad theology, right? Bad views about God, bad teaching, bad doctrine. The word doctrine meaning teaching or instruction. So there are many ways I know, and I'm sorry that some may think that's being harsh or judgmental, but I'm not judging Joel Osteen. I am letting the Word of God judge Joel Osteen. Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruits. What fruits? Their doctrinal fruits. And so I can look at the teaching of Joel Osteen, and I can look at the teaching of many people through the lens of the scripture and a biblical worldview and know what it is they're really teaching. But if you don't understand the various worldviews out there, you won't understand, hey, all they've done is taken Christianity and mixed it with New Age paganism. Just like the communist takes his communism and mixes it with New Age, we now have so-called Christians taking Christianity and mixing it with New Age, and it ceases to be Christianity. And isn't that what Jesus warned about it again and again? False teachers. false prophets, false apostles. Over and over, we're warned about that, right? As one of the signs of Christ coming. Look, go to with me, if you would, if you have a Bible, go over to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. Look at verse 7. Jesus is speaking to his disciples here. Luke chapter 21, verse 7. They question him, saying, "Teacher," another word for teacher is what? "Rabbi, when therefore will these things happen? And what will be the sign when these things are about to take place?" Talking about the things of the last days before the return of Christ, the second coming, not to be confused with the rapture. And he said, Jesus said, "So see to it that you are not misled. For many will come in my name saying, 'I am he,' and the time is near. Do not go after them," meaning false teachers. "Do not be terrified." Excuse me. "Do not go after them." Lost my spot here. "Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and disturbances, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end does not follow immediately." And he goes on from there to talk about things. Then he continued by saying to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes, and in various places, plagues." Wait a minute. Plagues? Are we seeing plagues break out? Yeah. COVID-19, all kinds of plagues. Got a report on our website today at worldviewtimes.com by Lieutenant Colonel Lawrence Sullen saying, hey, there's concern about a new bioweapon leaking out of the lab in Wuhan. It could be far deadlier than COVID. Well, how many of us, when we were growing up and going to church and we'd hear the pastor talk about the signs of the time, one of them being plagues, so we think, plagues? Plagues? Really? What, you know, plagues and pestilence and famines? What is this all about? Well, don't we today have indeed plagues? But many of them seem to be what? Man-made. And there will be earthquakes. Go look up all the increasing number of earthquakes that are occurring. Earthquakes in various places, as I said, plagues and famines. Wait a minute, now we're talking about what? Food shortages. Breakdown of the chain, food supply globally. There's a water crisis for many people in many parts of the world. There is now talk of a fertilizer crisis. Well, that's going to be difficult for crops, right? A lot of things we never thought of before relating to shipping, computer chips, the ability to have those chips to run farm equipment, to be able to plant and harvest. Think about all this in relation to technology. Now these verses really start to take on some different meanings, don't they? So earthquakes it speaks of, as we said, and plagues and famines, and there'll be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and will persecute you, delivering you to the synagogue and prisons, bring you before kings and governors for my name's sake. Now, what is it speaking of here? Great persecution, a falling away from traditionally held biblical truths, apostasy, and persecution of true believers. Now, these are the signs before the second coming of Christ. But notice one of them, go back up to the very top, verse 8. And he said to them, "See to it that you are not misled, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he.'" Now, if you have, I don't know what translation you're using, but depending on the translation, it may say, "I am he," or "I am Christ." Notice the word "he" or "Christ" is in italics. The word "he" or "Christ" is in italics. You know why? Because that was not in the original manuscript. That was not in the original. And so the writers interpreting and writing and transcribing Luke chapter 21 probably went over to Matthew 24 and saw the same thing being discussed over there and saw the word "Christ" being used over in Matthew 24 and said, well, we'll go ahead and use this over here. But that was not in the original. This is what some scholars teach. And this is why, of course, it says, "I am he," and the word "he" or "I am Christ," the word "he" or "Christ" is in italics. Many expert theologians believe that word is not in the original. So Jesus would have really said, "See to it that you are not misled, for many will come in my name saying, 'I am,'" period. Now, it doesn't say "I am," period. Most of your Bible translations say "I am he" or "I am Christ." But let me reiterate, "he" or "Christ" would be in italics for you, right, in your Bible? Why? Because that's not in the original. So Jesus was saying, be very careful, for many will come in my name. See to it that you are not misled, for many will come in my name saying, I am. Many will come claiming the name of Christ, claiming to represent Christ, and will teach what? I am, period. Do we see that going on today? Now, all of this has to do with understanding the worldview war, because if you don't understand the various worldviews, cosmic humanism, New Age, how it's mixing with the other dominant worldview that historically has been the dominant worldview, Christianity, you won't understand the mixture of Christianity and New Age. And then you won't understand, perhaps, what this text here means. So as we look at understanding the global worldview war, let me show you someone, Joel Osteen, who's taking Christianity and he has mixed it with New Age, and he's teaching the idea or the concept of I am, the power of I am. Watch this clip by Joel Osteen.
I want to talk to you today about the power of I am. What follows these two simple words will determine what kind of life you live. I am blessed, I am strong, I am healthy, or I am slow, I am unattractive, I am a terrible mother. The I ams that are coming out of your mouth will bring either success or failure. And all through the day, the power of I am is at work. We make a mistake, I am so clumsy. We look in the mirror, I am so old. We see somebody very talented, I am so average. We get caught in traffic, I am so unlucky. Many times we use the power of I am against us. We don't realize how it's affecting our future.
Now,
the good news is you get to choose what follows the I am. When you go through the day saying, I am blessed, blessings come looking for you. I am talented, talent comes looking for you. You may not feel up to par, but when you say, I am healthy, health starts heading your way. When you get up in the morning, don't focus on all your flaws. Look in the mirror and dare to say, I am beautiful, I am young, I am vibrant, I am confident, I am secure. Some of you, if you would just change the I am, you would go to a new level. Words have creative power. With your words, you can bless your future or you can curse your future. It would do us all good to make a list of a dozen or two of these I ams and read over them all through the day. Get them down in your spirit. Meditate on them. They may not all be true right now, but you have to call the things that are not as if they already were. I am blessed. I am prosperous. I am free. I am talented. I am young. I am beautiful. I am attractive. Remember, what follows the I am is going to come looking for you.
Now, notice what Joel Osteen said there. He said that the words have the power to create. This it is flat out shamanism. Shamanism. You go into, as I told you last week, you go into a tribe in the jungles of the backwoods somewhere, as my friends did who went into Indonesia, and they encountered a shaman in the jungles of Indonesia many, many years ago. They evangelized that tribe, brought many of them to Christ. The shaman himself became a believer, burned all of his occultic tools. But you go into the jungles, you'll find shaman or witch doctors. And one of the things that a shaman teaches is the power of your words or your mind to create equal to God. Now, I'm not saying that it's not a good idea to have a positive outlook on life, to get up every day and say, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to put my hand to the plow. And I'm going to gain wealth, as the Bible says, over the course of time by being honest and a good servant to people. Maybe you're a business owner. I'm going to be honest to my customers. I'm going to, a great name is rather to be chosen than great riches. By having a good name and a good reputation, I can add to my business, take care of my customers, serve others. These are biblical concepts. So it's a great thing to say, you know what? I got to do what's right because a good reputation is important. Yep, I'm going to get up today. I'm going to work hard. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy to earn that degree or what. There's nothing wrong with setting your mind and saying, I'm not going to get down. I'm not going to get discouraged. I'm not going to talk myself into being negative and a bad attitude. I'm not going to have a chip on my shoulder. I'm going to get up and I'm going to work hard. And I know that hard work pays off. I'm going to have a positive outlook. And I'm going to get to, you know, the Bible speaks to this too. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What is that saying? Even in the face of persecution, even in the face of hard time, and particularly the Apostle Paul writing, in the face of persecution, I can have joy. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Does it mean I can slam dunk a basketball at 5'6"? Not going to happen. That's not what it's saying. Does it mean I can do all things? I'm going to go out there and become the next billionaire? That's not what it's saying. We got to look at the context. The context is the Apostle Paul. It's persecution, and I can endure this hardship. I can endure this persecution through Christ. Now, this same thing, we speak scripture to ourselves. Nothing wrong with this. This is good. Same thing with having a good outlook on life, a positive attitude. Nothing wrong with that. That's not what Joel Osteen's teaching here, folks. That's not what he's saying. He deliberately said your words have the power to create. Look, God created things into being. In the beginning, God created. He has the power to create. We don't. The Bible says that God is in heaven and ye on earth who let your words be few. The Bible says that he is the creator and we are the creation. We are not equal to God. We don't have the power to create. We are not God. So what Joel Osteen is teaching is straight up old-fashioned shamanism. Shamanism. Your words have the power to create. It's shamanism. It's witchcraft. It falls right in line with the Wicca religion. Now, you could be watching tonight, and this could make you mad. This could make you angry. You can start attacking me personally. But look, don't crucify the messenger. Look and see if the message is consistent with the scripture, and look at what these people are saying, and go study what shamanism is. Go study what is known as the power of I am, or what is known as the law of attraction. Oprah Winfrey has taught a book called The Secret. The Secret. And it teaches the same thing. Oprah Winfrey, New Ager, New Age paganism, cosmic humanism. Oprah Winfrey, she teaches this same thing. And again, she's taught this book called The Secret. Your words have the power to create. So here's Oprah, a New Ager, and here's Joel Osteen, a supposed Christian pastor, teaching the same cosmic humanism. But if you don't know the various worldviews ruling the world today, you won't realize, whoa, Joel Osteen is now mixing one worldview, Christianity, and another worldview, cosmic humanism. And oh, by the way, the Bible speaks to this. Jesus said again in Luke chapter 21, when asked by the disciples, what's the sign of your second coming? Well, there'll be many: plagues, famines, earthquakes, wars, nation ruling against nation. But what was one of the first ones he said? When men say, I am. When men say, I am. The power of I am. Now, Joel Osteen goes on to say all of these things, that God wants you healthy and wealthy. You know what? God doesn't want everyone to be wealthy. God desires some be rich. God desires some have a lot. God desires others not have so much. God chooses to do as God chooses to do. But someone who doesn't have great wealth or abundance, it isn't because they don't have a good outlook on life. It's not because they haven't tried the right mantra. It's not because God has chosen to somehow punish them. There are many, many wonderful, godly people who don't have a lot. And God is, for whatever reason, chosen not to do that. Others, God has given a lot to. But this has nothing to do with one person is more spiritual or more blessed by God than others. We see the apostles themselves were not men that were what? Well, ones that could claim health, wealth, and prosperity. Now, could they? No. In fact, if you follow today's New Age teaching or the spirituality of today, you would say, well, by the worldly material standards, the apostles must have had a lot of sin in their life because they weren't healthy, wealthy, and rich, and God must have been punishing them. No. God chooses to bless who he chooses. It has nothing to do necessarily with their spiritual condition. Now, I do believe that people who are not obeying God will not get certain blessings, and that could be earthly blessings now as well as blessings at the Bema Seat of Christ. But there are many wonderful, godly people who walk in faithfulness and obedience who are not wealthy people. And it has nothing to do with God holding back wealth from them because they're somehow doing something sinful. He has just chosen that for them. And they are storing up treasures in heaven, the Bible says. Now look, if we were to hold this same idea to the apostles, get up every morning and say, I'm healthy and I'm wealthy and I can do this. Well, are we to say now that the apostles just didn't have the right mantra and outlook? Because look, Paul and Matthew were beheaded, Barnabas was burned to death, Mark was dragged to death, James the Less was clubbed to death, Peter, Philip, and Andrew were crucified, Thomas was speared to death, Luke was hung by the neck until dead, and Stephen was stoned. Their material wealth had nothing to do and has nothing to do with their spiritual wealth that they are enjoying today and will receive at the Bema Seat of Christ. So don't let someone tell you that somehow because you aren't healthy and wealthy to the abundance of the world standard, somehow God's not blessing you or you're not under God's great favor. And to the contrary, there are many wealthy people. What they're receiving right now will be the best they have. They are living their best life right now. If you are a non-believer, this is the closest to heaven you're going to get. If you're a believer, this is the closest to hell you're going to get. Can I say that again? If you're a Christian, this is the closest to hell you're going to get because it's only going to get better in glory. But if you are a non-believer, if you've not accepted Christ, if you've even rejected Christ, this is the closest to heaven you're going to get. It's only going to get worse from here. So again, be very careful when you listen to these guys mixing psychology and New Age with Scripture. Jesus warns us about this as one of the worldview wars that will be taking place. Now, Joel Osteen and Oprah Winfrey are not the only two people who have taught this. There's another guy that has taught this same concept and idea, and I began to warn about him in 2010. Now, I can agree with him politically. There are some things I agree with Glenn Beck on politically. But when Glenn Beck in 2010 started telling us we all had to look to one God, including imams, and locking arms with imams in front of the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C., I'm like, I'm sorry, Glenn, you've gone off the reservation now. Because Christians, true Christians, and an imam, Islam, Muslims, do not look to the same God. Muslims would not have Allah become a human, take on the form of man, die for someone else, have a child, have a son, the Son of God. No, we don't worship the same God. And if they were being honest, which most of them won't, they'll lie to you because they want the silly Christians and silly Americans to believe they can all come together so they can do interfaith dialogue, which is one of the leading tools of the Muslim Brotherhood. Syed Qutb, the leading scholar for the Founding Fathers, one of the leading scholars for them, said that interfaith dialogue was a one-way bridge to bring the non-Muslim to their side, not the other way around. So they want you to believe, oh yeah, we worship the same God. They're lying to you. It's called taqiyya. They can lie to you. So I knew that Glenn Beck was getting off the spiritual, was off the spiritual reservation when in 2010 he wanted to try to have everybody look to one God. But Glenn also started teaching the same thing as Joel Osteen and Oprah and paganism and shamanism and the power of I Am. What is I Am, by the way? It's a title for God. We see it throughout the Old Testament. The name of God, I should say. The I Am is the name of God, is a name reserved for God alone. I am that I am. It's a title reserved for God alone. And just as we don't use the Lord's name in vain, we should not be using his titles in a vain way, in a pagan manner. Now, this is exactly what you're going to hear Glenn Beck doing. Again, this goes to the essence of understanding worldviews and the worldview war taking place, and it is coming from the right and the left, not just from liberal Oprah Winfrey, not just from conservative Glenn Beck on the right. This is a worldview war that crosses all political, economic barriers. But if you don't understand the dominant worldviews, you won't understand how they're merging together to create the worldview war and confusion we have. Listen to Glenn Beck teaching the same thing that Joel Osteen and Oprah are teaching. Okay. Let me see if I can cue it back up, Logan. Come back to me. That's going to hang up on us here, I think. Let's see here.
Go back to Moses and the burning bush. Moses is standing there. The bush is burning. And Bush says, go to Pharaoh. And he's like, me? I'm slow in speech. Yeah.
Wait a minute. You're not missing a gene, are you?
He says to God, who shall I say sent me? And the answer was, I am that I am. I am that I am. First time I read that when I was a kid, I thought that was the big, I thought, well, that's a horrible Dr. Seuss line. Check the Bible. I am. It is always capitalized. That is the name of God. I am. I want this segment to haunt you this week. I want you to answer that. I am what? Fill in the blank. I am the name of God. Now, let me ask you something. Isn't there a commandment? Thou shalt not take the Lord thy God's name in vain. It's not God. It's I am. This is the choice. You can't do it. You can do it. Why do I say you can do it? Because you can say, I am worthy, I am strong, I am smart, I am loving, I'm charitable, I'm able, I'm creative, I'm peaceful. These are the things I am. But what does society teach us? I am not worthy, strong, smart, loving, charitable, able, creative, peaceful. That's your choice. I am or I am not. This is the secret. They're teaching you, if this is the name of God, if I am is the name of God, whose name is that? Because it's the exact opposite.
Okay, so that is blatant New Age again. He even says it. He even says, this is the secret. And of course, that is the book Oprah Winfrey taught, I told you, called The Secret. There were even some so-called Christians out there that did a documentary called The Source of the Secret. So after Oprah Winfrey came out teaching the book, promoting the book, The Secret, which again says the power of your mind and your words to create shamanism, paganism, some Christians came, so-called Christian pastors and leaders and teachers came out, created a documentary on the source of The Secret, and they said, well, Oprah and those guys didn't go far enough because they didn't tell you who is the source of The Secret. It's God. So they were attributing to God New Age concepts. Wait a minute. How are we going to take what Oprah, a New Ager, is teaching and say, well, what she's teaching is good, but it doesn't go far enough. It doesn't go to the source. I'm sorry. God is not the source of occultism. So this is going on all over the place. The merging of Christianity with cosmic humanism or New Age. And if you do not understand these worldviews, you will not understand what's happening or the worldview war. And again, what's so ironic is to go back to Luke chapter 21, the disciples asked Jesus, what is the sign of your second coming? And we know he says toward the bottom of the page of my Bible, with Luke chapter 21 being on the far left side as I go down the page, I'm getting wars and rumors of wars and kingdoms rising against kingdoms and plagues and famines and earthquakes and terrors and great signs from heaven. What is that? Asteroids? Comets? What could that mean? But we also know that one of the first things he said was, one of the signs of my soon return is when men say, I am. They use the name of God as a mantra and mix it with New Age teachings. They take a title reserved for God and for reverence of God, and they use it for their own selfish, greedy, occultic gain. When men say, I am, the stage is being set for the second coming of Christ. You see how the worldview war helps us understand what's going on? Now, let's go back to our slides here. In our remaining 25 minutes, let's look again at these six worldviews that are ruling the world. Last week, we started out in lesson one with biblical Christianity, cosmic humanism, secular humanism, communism and Marxism, postmodernism, and Islam. Now, there are more than six worldviews, but these are the six dominant worldviews that rule the world. Look at what Mark Stein wrote a few years ago. He said, then September 11 happened, and bizarrely the reaction of just about every prominent Western leader was to visit a mosque. President Bush did, the Prince of Wales did, the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom did, the Prime Minister of Canada did, the Premier of Ontario didn't, and so 20 Muslim community leaders had a big summit to denounce him for failing to visit a mosque. But for whatever reason, he couldn't fit it into his hectic schedule. Ontario's citizenship minister did show up at a mosque, but the imams took that as a great insult, like the Queen sending Fergie to open the Commonwealth Games. And so Mark Stein is talking about how after 9/11, you would have thought that people would have understood what was the worldview of 9/11, Islam, what was behind that. But no, now we're going to pay homage to it, and we're going to merge it with the Christian Western culture. And people are oblivious and being politically correct. Look at this headline. Russia will be one-third Muslim in 15 years, Chief Mufti predicts. This was back in March of 2019, the Moscow Times. Muslim, one-third, folks, one-third Muslim. By the way, that's very interesting because the Bible speaks about a war in Ezekiel 38, the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel 38 speaks about a war known as Gog and Magog. Gog being the leader of a coalition, Magog being the coalition. Many believe that coalition, according to the table of nations, as you go through Ezekiel 38, you can look at the nations mentioned with their traditional historic names, and you can line them up with the table of nations of today and realize they include nations like Syria and Iran and Russia and Turkey. And they can, well, that's interesting. Wait a minute. Aren't those nations actually in Syria right now on the border of Israel? And yet the Bible tells us in Ezekiel 38 that this coalition of nations will come together, build military alliances, and then move against Israel for her treasure. Well, first of all, when did these nations build a military alliance? Many of them in the last few years. That's historic. So when did they all start moving together toward Israel? Well, they all moved into Syria. Inside Syria, you obviously have Syria, you have Turkey, you have Russia, you have Iran, you have Muslim Brotherhood, Hamas. All these nations right there on the border of Syria and Israel. Now, that's interesting because the leader of this coalition, Ezekiel 38, Gog, many believe will be the leader of Russia. Can't be dogmatic about it, but many believe it'll likely be like the leader of Russia. Well, Russia, their own newspaper saying, pretty soon here, next 15 years, and this was in 2019, Russia will be one-third Muslim. I've read some articles that over the next few years, Islam will be one of the dominant worldviews of their military. 40, 50% of their military could be made up of Muslims. Well, that's interesting when you look at those military leaders coming together, including Russia moving against Israel. The Russian military, made up of a lot of Muslims, would have a hatred, naturally, many of those Islamists toward Israel, would they not? But do you see what I'm saying? The point I'm making is, do you understand the worldviews? Then you add in the worldviews and the worldview war to the spiritual war and to the scriptures, and the world comes alive. You now start seeing everything through different lenses, don't you? Look at this, Muslim Russia? By Daniel Pipes. Within a few years, Muslims will make up half the conscripts in the Russian army. Half! Joseph A. D. Gnostino of the Population Research Institute has said this. Here's another one. Why Muslims are the world's fastest growing religious group? While the world's population is projected to grow 32% in the coming decades, the number of Muslims is expected to increase by 70% from 1.8 billion in 2015 to nearly 3 billion in 2060. In 2015, Muslims made up 24% of the global population. 45 years later, they are expected to make up more than 3 in 10 of the world's people, 31.1%. You see, here's one of the six dominant worldviews, and we see that it is on the rise. It is growing. Here's another article. This article is July 4th, 2012. Why Marxism is on the rise again. why Marxism is on the rise again. And indeed it is, isn't it? Again, one of the six dominant worldviews. Here's an article just from November 15th, 2021. November 15th, 2021, The Atlantic. The bad guys are winning. Anne Applebaum on the rise of autocratic power around the world. The Atlantic's December cover story exposes the conditions that have allowed the leaders of Venezuela, Belarus, Russia, China, and Turkey to thrive at the expense of the world's liberal democracies. Look at those nations there. Venezuela. What has happened with Venezuela in the last few years? It has flipped completely to communism. They went from being one of the richest nations in the world to now they've experienced hyperinflation. One of the reasons they survived is because they had the black market of the U.S. dollar. One reason they were able to make it, many of them, is they had the black market of the U.S. dollar. What are we going to have a black market of when our dollar collapses? Venezuela, I have video in one of my documentaries of the middle class literally eating out of dumpsters, eating out of garbage trucks, literally wearing their middle class clothes with their middle class vocabulary. Very obvious, they're middle class people. But due to the massive collapse over there a few years ago and hyperinflation, eating out of the garbage can. And Venezuela, what do you have in Venezuela now? Well, Mike Pompeo, a CIA director a few years ago, told Chris Wallace and Fox News that inside Venezuela you had Russia and China and Hezbollah. Russia, China, Hezbollah, Iran in Venezuela. And there's talk of more Russian involvement in Venezuela. A few years ago, Russia landed some very, very big and powerful nuclear bombers in Venezuela. So we have Venezuela, Belarus, Russia, China, and Turkey. Now, let's go to this one. A Soviet-style strongman still rules Belarus. Because you're like, well, what's going on? Belarus, what about that? Well, this is a nation, according to Reason Magazine, back in 2021, still has a strongman. Stuck in many ways in the USSR. So notice again the common theme here, communism. Here is another article. China unveils plan to take over Latin America. We know for a matter of fact that the guy that heads up South Command testified before Congress, a committee a few years ago, his great concern that China was in our backyard. China is in our neighborhood. What is again China? Communist China. Communist red China. Communism, yeah, they're mixing communism with a little bit of capitalism over there, but at the end of the day, it's communism light, if you want to call it that. And I don't even want to call it that because it's not very light on those who are being persecuted. It's communism, just a different little flair going on, maybe a little mixture of socialism with capitalism for corporate fascism or whatever you want to call it. The end is the same. It really matters not. But it's certainly a communist red nation. So we're back to understanding those six worldviews, aren't we? Makes all the difference in the world if you understand the worldviews. Well, the Christian angle on things begins with a belief in God, a theistic worldview derived from the Greek word theos, meaning God. So we begin with, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created. So we have a theos, our worldview is that of a theistic Christian. We're theistic Christians. We believe in the world began through the power and the word of God who created it. In the beginning, God, theos. Pantheism is the belief that everything is God. So now we're going to separate from where we say, in the beginning, God. God is in heaven, ye are on earth, so let your words be few. He is the creator, we are the creation. There's a distinct difference. But then the cosmic humanist or New Ager comes along and says, wait a minute, we believe in pantheism. Everything is God. Everything is God. Pantheism, all is God. Panentheism, God is in all. Let me say that again. Pantheism, all is God. Panentheism, God is in all. The trees, the sun, the moon, the stars, all is one, for all is God. So you see how we can take the theistic Christian worldview and the cosmic humanist worldview and show their belief on God, and then once you understand what their theology is, their view of God, then you can start seeing how it applies to the disciplines of life, law, science, economics, history, family, social issues, education, religion, national security, right? Now we're breaking down the practice of their view of God. Either God is or God is not. What is the standard for what is right and what is wrong? Christian theism says what? There is both a spiritual world and a natural world. A cosmic humanist or New Age believes only in the spiritual world and holds that the natural world is simply an illusion. This is one reason why yoga, transcendental meditation, is the real, the newer name. Yoga is the old name. Yoga is the old name. Transcendental meditation is the newer name. And the Maharishi brought transcendental meditation to America in the 60s, introducing this concept and this idea. By the way, the Soviets were very interested in the fact so many members of Hollywood were going over to go through his school. They were very, this again is according to Yuri Bezmenov, who was a a KGB officer who was an expert on propaganda. And when he gave his interview in 84 with my friend G. Edward Griffin, he says one of the things that the KGB was particularly interested in was the fact that the Maharishi was promoting transcendental meditation, a new name for an old practice, yoga, and that the Americans were getting intrigued in this. Why did that make the KGB happy? Because yoga, or transcendental meditation, says you need to get your chakras in line. You need to bring through the power, the energy from your stem of your brain and all the way through your body, bring your energies or your chakra in a line. And this is done in part through meditation, self-hypnosis, transcendental meditation, yoga, whatever you want to call it. And this is done by getting rid of all your thoughts, but certainly all of your negative. Get rid of all your negative thoughts. Empty your mind. And when you empty your mind, then the natural world will dissolve and you can enter the spiritual world. And this is where you discover new information, esoteric information, esotericism, hidden knowledge, hidden knowledge. This is the same lie that Satan presented to Adam and Eve in Genesis 3. You will be like God. Humanism. You will know what is right, what is wrong. You decide for yourself what is right, what is wrong, because after all, you're God. You eat of the fruit and you will know good from evil. Eat of the fruit and you'll have knowledge, hidden knowledge, esotericism, and you can enter into this altered state of consciousness. Some cases through yoga, transcendental meditation. Some in the 60s didn't want to do drugs, so they preferred yoga or transcendental meditation, which is why the Maharishi exploded on the scene in the 60s, because the 60s was not just about sex and drugs. It was ultimately about an altered state of consciousness, discovering our godhood, our deity, through hidden knowledge, Gnosticism, hidden knowledge, an altered state of consciousness where you discover your godhood or your deity. Don't you remember the musical Hair in the 1960s? This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius, the age of new beginnings. Why will it be a new age or a age of new beginnings? Because men will understand their godhood or their deity when they encounter this altered state of consciousness, whether through drugs or hypnosis. Marilyn Ferguson, a major New Ager, said the purpose of LSD in our country was to help people to open up their channels and have what she called a religious experience. And so yoga is the old name. Transcendental meditation is largely the new name. And Yuri Bezmenov, the communist KGB officer who flipped, who was an expert on propaganda, said in his interview in 1984, the KGB was quite excited that the American population and their Hollywood elite were picking up on this, studying with the Maharishi, which he did himself, by the way. He went to his school himself as a KGB officer to see what this was all about. And they were quite happy that this was penetrating the culture in America. Why? Because the idea is don't pay attention to the negative. Don't read the paper. Don't watch the news. Don't listen to people like Brandon House. Don't listen to other people helping you to understand what's going on. That's doom and gloom. That's negative. That's negative energy. Don't you know? Don't listen to all that. Get your chakras in line. Enter into the spiritual world. Make the natural world dissolve and find peace and tranquility through an altered state of consciousness. And you can't do that when someone is telling you all the bad things that are happening or the things that are coming and to look out for. Turn that off. Don't listen to that. And the KGB thought that was great. If we can get Americans to turn off, or as what did the druggie from the 60s say? Timothy O'Leary, tune in, turn on, drop out. Tune in to a new way, a new thought process. Tune in, turn on, drop out. Tune in, turn on, drop out. Turn it off. Drop out of society, man. Don't be a part of the system. Stick it to the man. And so people began to be encouraged to not understand the times, to listen to what's really going on, because that is negative and shakes people and gets them away from being able to get centered and get their chakras in line and enter into this altered state of consciousness. And so the former KGB officer, Nuri Bezmenov, said, man alive, the KGB, we were quite excited Americans wanted to get into this, because that meant they were going to turn off any negative news about the bomb and about the Soviet Union and the nuclear race and nuclear war and all that. They're going to check out of that, man, so they can have peace and tranquility and enter the silence. Here we are, cosmic humanism. But this is the same thing we see in Genesis 3. It's not new at all. Satan says to Adam and Eve, well, God doesn't want you to eat of that apple, because when you do, he doesn't want you to eat of that fruit, because when you do, you're going to have hidden knowledge, esotericism. And yet today, how much new age transcendental meditation, yoga, is in our churches? They're not only teaching the power of I am, your words have the power to create as though you're somehow God. They now want you to believe that it's okay to mix occultism with Christianity for Christian yoga. You know what the word yoga means in Sanskrit? In Sanskrit, the word yoga means yoke or union. Yoke or union with a Hindu god. Why on earth would any Christian seek to do that, want to do that? By the way, does the Bible tell us to empty our mind anywhere? Anywhere in the scripture does it say anywhere to empty your mind? Because that's the goal of transcendental meditation and yoga, is to empty your mind. No, the Bible says to what? Fill your mind with what? Scripture. Fill your mind with scripture. Delight in the law of the Lord. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Right? The Bible talks over and over about filling your heart, your mind. By the way, the word heart and mind are interchangeable over 800 times in the scripture. The heart and mind, the conscience, the center of man. Fill it with scripture. Fill it with the law of the Lord. Delight in the law of the Lord. Nowhere are you told that meditation is emptying your mind. Biblical meditation is the filling of your mind with the Word of God. Biblical Christianity, biblical prayer, biblical meditation is filling your mind with the Word of God. New Age, occultic, transcendental meditation, yoga, is emptying your mind, and this is the most powerful way, even the New Agers will tell you, to meet a spirit or master guide. I've been studying the New Age since 1989. I actually wrote my first little book on the New Age in 1990. I'd been studying it since the mid-80s, but I wrote my first little book on the New Age movement in 1990. And I'm telling you right now, I have read so many New Age authors and experts who openly admitted the most powerful way to meet a spirit or master guide was through hypnosis, yoga, transcendental meditation, an altered state of consciousness where you meet a spirit or master guide. Now, they believe they're individuals who are more highly evolved through the process of reincarnation. They're just individuals who, through the process of reincarnation, were more highly evolved. Their good deeds outweighed their bad deeds, and they kept evolving up until they became a part of the spirit or master guide world. And you can become a spirit or master guide if your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds. That's what they teach. Well, you and I know what they're really talking to are demons. It's appointed unto every man to die once and then face the judgment. That's yes, we got Lazarus who got resurrected and had to die again, poor guy. But I'm not afraid of dying, just the process. The guy had to do it twice. Of course, unless you get hit by a bus, that's pretty, you don't have to really think about that much. But reality is, it's the principle. Most people, they're going to die once. But the Bible tells us specifically, you don't talk to, you don't pray to dead people. That's occultism. The Old Testament tells us, again, don't talk to dead people, don't pray to dead people. This is what the pagans do. This is what the occultists do. This is what the Satanists do. So let me tell you something. These people are not talking to dead people. They're talking to demons posing as them. And some of your biggest occultists, this is how they wrote their books. Alice Bailey, Helen Schuckman, who are both two of the biggest authors who are followed by the New Age. Helen Schuckman really wrote the Bible of the New Age, A Course in Miracles, taught by Oprah Winfrey. So we understand that the cosmic humanist believes only in the spiritual world and holds that the natural world is an illusion. And if you really want to obtain spirituality and truth, you make this world dissolve. Don't listen to people like Brandon House. He's too negative. Turn him off. Ignore the natural world. Concentrate on this inter-pagan spirituality. Make the natural world dissolve. Enter the spiritual world where you will find real peace and truth and Gnosticism, hidden knowledge. But the biblical Christian worldview teaches what? There's the natural world and the spiritual world. There's a dualism. There's a natural world and a spiritual world. Remember, the secular humanist teaches there's only the natural world. The secular humanist says there's only the natural world. There is no spiritual world. You die, that's it. It's over. Lights out. The cosmic humanist says there's only the spiritual world. The natural world is an illusion. Enter the spiritual world where there's real reality. But the Christian worldview understands that there is dualism. There's a natural world and there's the spiritual world. There's the natural being and body, my shell, and then there's my spirit, my soul, which will live forever. And the Bible says, don't fear the one who can kill the body, but the one who can judge your soul and throw it into hell. There's the natural world and there's the spiritual world. Well, that's where we'll leave it tonight. Next week, we'll pick up lesson 3, put your beliefs to the test. Understanding the global worldview war. Understanding the global worldview war. Now, if you appreciate what we're doing here, folks, we come to you every Sunday night since 2015. And this is a ministry of our Worldview Weekend, Worldview Weekend Foundation. If you'd like to support what we're doing, you can make a tax-deductible contribution at wvwfoundation.com. wvwfoundation.com. If you prefer to send a check, you'll find our address on the screen there. You can use our P.O. box, or you can call during normal business hours at area code 901-853-8792 and give over the phone if you prefer, 901-853-8792. But otherwise, you'll find all of this, by the way, at our website, wvwfoundation.com. If you just go to our website, wvwfoundation.com, you'll find our mailing address, our phone number, and you can give online or by mail or by phone number. But however you give, we appreciate your supporting our ministry that we've been bringing to you every Sunday night since 2015 with the Worldview Weekend Hour. And I started a series last Sunday night, Put Your Beliefs to the Test, Understanding the Global Worldview War, so that we might, well, do exactly what we talked about last week, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, that we not be led astray by the philosophies of men, the lies or the fables of men. And then we see in Luke chapter 21, Jesus warning that one of the signs of his second coming is what? When men will say, I am, using the name of God as a pagan ritual or practice. This is a sign of the last days being set up for the second coming of Christ. But to understand all this, you got to understand these worldview wars that are raging. And that's what we're seeking to help you understand to do, to understand the time, so you know how God would have you to respond and you're not taken captive. All right? So again, if you appreciate what we're doing, we sure appreciate your support. WVWFoundation.com. Look forward to being with you tomorrow on TV and radio, and Lord willing, right back here next Sunday night for Lesson 3, Put Your Beliefs to the Test, Understanding the Global Worldview War. Thanks for watching. Take care.
You're watching Lindell TV.